Here we are with discussion three, day three, discussion three, mm-hmm. on our wonderful talk. What's the name of our topic?
Santa Claus gift to me.
Santa Claus gift to me. And how I use my stem cells. Right? Okay. Now, this morning, we were speaking about how science sometimes falls into the pit. That science is always responsible and always gives us the right answer, gives us the correct answer. The scientist said it, so it must be so. The scientist said, 10,000 stem cells every day is born in our brain and just flowing over like the waterfall from our brain, just dripping down over our mind and going down to our body and going down into our beingness and then flooding out into our world, 10,000. Well, what are we learning? That was 2 years ago. Now, in the last year, science is saying every cell of your body is a stem cell. And every organ action function of your body is a stem cell revealing itself to itself and the world. Now, that's pretty nice, isn't it? Okay, now, science tells us that to take certain vitamins is good, and then later they say, no, you shouldn't, because it's deleterious, it's not good for the body, it will hurt you, and yet the doctors don't change their prescription. This is why it is so good to go to a specialist. Because they really are dyed in the wool. Once they find something that works, it works. Now, any of you know anything about diabetes? There is the Diabetes Association, or the Heart Association, the Diabetes Association in the United States. And they wrote a big, thick book about it. Well, they're still selling that big, thick book to everybody, recommending it to everybody. And meanwhile, two-thirds of the information in that book has changed. Two-thirds has changed. Now, it was beneficial. As they start someplace, you know. But they haven't withdrawn. What do they call it? Recall? They haven't recalled that book. See, they should recall that book because it has ineffective information in it. But what do? You pick it up, you have it on your bookshelf. What do you do? What do you do? Oh, I am so proud. This is a book from 1792. This is a book from 1840. And it's a medical dictionary. And it's a medical diagnosis program. And there's only a few of them around. This is a historical piece. Have you read it? Yeah. Oh, it's very interesting, you know. Well, don't read it. Don't read it. That is where the world was yesterday. And that's not where the world is today. And even where the world is today is not where the world is today because the world doesn't know where it is today. It hasn't written the book yet, you know? It's moment by moment by moment, constantly changing. Did we have the Big Bang Theory back in the 1800s? No. Did somebody? Yes, but they hadn't written the book. And finally, they bring it out. We have to be so careful of where we get our information and where we compound our information. And I say to you, and this is our discussion, and I'm doing all the discussing, I say to you, listen within. This is what every one of my seminars have been around ever since I started sharing with anybody. Listen within. Now, Jesus said that, the philosopher said that, everybody who's a thinker says it, but do the thinkers do it? No, they just talk about it. Really. They just talk about listening within. Because if they listened within, what would they do? They wouldn't talk. They would just do it. Now, that's true. That's true. What do they say? A teacher teaches and someone else does it, you know. There's another phrase for it. Either teach or do, you know. A doer does it and the teacher teaches it. But a teacher doesn't do it. And essentially, that's correct. The teacher is so bound up on teaching whatever the teacher knows to teach that the teacher doesn't have time to read the latest books on the changes in what he's teaching or what she's teaching. And so the teacher is teaching these kids all these things. Now, what happened when New Math came out? Did you ever hear of New Math? Mm-hmm. New Math is a new technique in doing math. And I haven't read the book myself, but I'm really not interested in math. I should. But now, what is New Math? New Math is teaching students how to think creatively in a conceptual form. Not necessarily 1 plus 1 equals 2, but here's a 1 and here's a 1, and they always form a 2, and then there's a 4 and a 5 and other things. It'd be interesting perhaps to read it. But the teachers didn't want to teach it. Why?
Because they had to learn it.
They had to learn it. And here they're teaching the latest information. Now, the teachers are teed off with great vehemence, because they cannot get away with not learning the computer. They have to learn the computer, because everybody, if they don't teach it to the kids, they'll learn it at home. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. The computer is sort of like a blanket that has spread itself over the world.
Like and writing the letters.
What's that?
Like writing.
I don't know what are you saying. You want to say what you're saying?
Yes, it is means we learn also to write a word.
Well, how does a computer help us write a word?
We have just to put the
we type it in.
Yes.
Yeah, we put it in our yes. word perfect or whatever.
To write it by hand, we have first to learn writing by hand, and so is with a computer.
Oh, you're saying that the computer bypasses learning to use your writing by hand,
yes.
Learning the penmanship.
Yes.
Well, I believe that you, Ingeborg, are from the old school who think that penmanship is important. I think that you are from the old school that believes penmanship should be learned because it is important to communicate with it. Well, now, today we're coming to the awareness that the computer, you just, all right, you have a granddaughter, and she's lying in her bed, and her little telephone, ding, ding, and she picks it up, and she punches out a bunch of keys on her telephone in short phrases in code, you know, I can't come, I-C-T-C-M, you know, I can't come, and or whatever, you know, and they have a whole lot of shortcuts. In fact, if you will press it out on the computer, they give you all these shortcuts, mm-hmm. And the kids learn the shortcuts because they want to say certain things, or hi, bye, see you, love you, you know, let's meet for lunch this afternoon, or let's do these phrases that are common, you know. And does that help their learning? Yeah. But yes, it does. Because they know how. They know how, and then they apply it there. First, they know that it means I cannot come. And then it means I can't come. Then it means I can't. KT, CM, you know, or whatever, and then you know what it means. And you see, that's like learning another language. Really, that is probably the new Esperanto, the new language for all nations of the world, which probably is true. But you see, this is the thing. The teachers don't want the kids to learn that. They want them to learn the fundamentals. They want them to learn these necessary things. Well, if the teachers would take the new devices that are available and clothe their old pictures with the new devices, people would learn the old program and the new program. You know? It is so fantastic because the teachers don't want to learn computers. Now, Dorothea, she was in her 80s, late 80s, and she didn't want to learn a computer, but she wanted to have my emails. And so we showed her how to do it. And she just said, I cannot do that. And I mean, she is a fart. You're going to hear this to her, Dorothy. But she's a dum-dum, because she knows everything. She drives a car like a Indy 500 race car driver. She comes to a stop sign, looks both ways, and then zoom, off she is. And she knows 10 feet from here, we turn, get in this lane here, get in that lane, do this. She knows everything on that stuff. And she's just as sharp on her computer. Now, if she were challenged, if she had a little grandchild she wanted to teach, oh, she'd learn the computer fast, because she wants to contribute something. But she's now using the computer and doing the things she wants to do. But she wanted to involve her friend Charlie. So she said, "Charlie, I can't do this. Will you do this?" And that way she gets Charlie to listen to my talks too. I mean, she's not dumb, but she doesn't allow herself to keep her skill current. And that's what she wants to do. Now, she doesn't need the crutches that she uses. But she uses them because it gives her an opportunity to look like she needs help. When nobody's around, she leaves her crutch by her chair, gets up, goes to the bathroom, and sets herself up, and then comes back and sits in the chair as though she'd been there all the time, you know. She likes to play that game. And you do too. You do too. You like to play the game that you don't know. Play the game that you don't understand. And you understand everything. And where is everything coming from?
Within.
Right within. Where is all wisdom, all knowledge, all beingness?
Within.
Right within. Are you there?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I thought you died. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, it's wonderful. Yes. Do you like it?
Yes.
Are you all geniuses?
Yes.
Are you all fantastic?
Yes. Yes.
Do you love me?
Yes.
Gotta get you on that one there. Yeah. Get you in the yes mood there. Okay, now. What is something that you learned that you felt was going to be difficult and turned out to be more fun than anything in the world?
Something I learned that I thought to be difficult and is more fun than anything in the world. How about driving a tractor? I really do enjoy driving our 50-horse
Kubota
tractor. And when coming back to the monastery this time, I got onto it and I really had to listen within to think how to get it started in the at the first place. And it's beautiful actually to realize, to really take the time to sit there, be quiet, and I even close my eyes and just think. And then do one bit after the other very quietly and slowly. And that tractor started for sure. And then I, when using it the first time, just to drive really slowly and not because I'm scared, but just to grow into my own confidence and really listen and know how to handle it. And now when I get onto it, I can do things I never did before. And it's such fun. Really love it. Yeah, I love driving a tractor.
Thank you.
Oh, with the question we were asked, the first thought was organizing seminars. When I came to the University of Healing and heard Herb talking about seminars and I participated in the seminars, I got so excited about the philosophy that I said, wow, I want to organize some seminars. But I had no idea where to start and where to end. And Herb said, you can do it. So I made flyers, and that was naturally also something which I had never written for myself or for somebody else to advertise, and where to go to advertise and where to find the people. And we had from 15 to 50 and 100 people in seminars, and I had a lot of fun, and it gave me the first self-confidence which for a time I might have had lost to go my spiritual path. It's a lot of fun organizing seminars and to share with other people.
Well, for me, a big challenge was the computer, because before I came here, I had a lot of preconceived ideas about computers, like environmental concerns and that computers were evil for the environment, you know, things like that. And I really had this idea that I don't want to touch a computer, I don't want to use a computer, it's not necessary for me, it's not necessary for the world, etc. Well, I came here and it became very necessary that I used a computer, and I would have never thought that I would fall in love with a computer, that it would be my challenge to start listening this in, because I started to do things on the computer for the university which needed certain software programs, and I didn't have anybody to ask because it was difficult to talk to the technical support, because you need to have the exact wording to explain them what your problem is, and if you don't have that, they just don't understand what you want to ask. Anyhow, so I had to start saying, I know, and it's an amazing thing how ideas, just little thought ideas and illuminations just started to come to me saying, why don't you try it this way? Why don't you do it this way? And actually, I always found a solution how to do it. And I would have a difficult time to teach a software program now, because I could only teach it my way and not probably the way that it is really designed to be. But that's one thing that I delight in, and it keeps being a challenge, because there's always new things to learn, and it keeps my mind alert and aware.
For me, it's the thing driving a car, a thing I could not imagine that I can do this one day. I had no need, because my friend Yvonne drove me always around, and then my sons, and so I never thought, because I was fearful to think I could drive a car. And then I created my crazy daughter Katharina to give me her car as she left to New Zealand. And then what I shall do, I said, now is the time. I jump in the cold water. I created a very handsome, lovely man as a driving instructor. But still then, actually, I didn't believe in myself, because I have to make the test 3 times. And I cried that even after these 3 times, the 4th, then I got the license. Because in the 4th, I had to go through these tests if I am able to drive a car.
Uh-huh.
That's really crazy. But what I made was perfect. And then at my 60th birthday, I created a good day to make the
60.
Yeah, I made the test and I had it. Until now, till then, I enjoy very, very much to drive a car. I drive it every day. This was the thing I told me. You have to drive now every day, that you get a good driver. And I'm so happy now.
For me, one thing I never thought I could do or be good in is writing. I found it out here during staying with you here on campus. And the thing is to really listen within, and then the words flow out of you. And I really like to do it very much, but I not do it so often. And another thing I comes in my mind is to change the tire of a car. I always thought you need a lot of strength to do that, mm-hmm. But actually, you don't need strength at all. It's just a technique. And then even a child can do it. Yes.
Well, first I had a very little trust in the computers, because the company where I worked, in the office where I worked, it was a company, and they had a big computer, and very often they had trouble and the computer closed down. Then I come here to the campus, and there is Ellen and myself. We have a computer to work with making the mailing list, and that worked very fine. And then later, when I was making the list of the expenses from the list to bring it on each card, so I found out that when I have on the screen the whole list, I put in the card and there copies then the expense for what is a card. And that was my idea, nobody told me how. So then I became more confident with the computer, and I like to work with the computer.
Very good. Now, every one of you, when I told you you're going to tell an adventure, had a little pit of your tummy butterflying and saying, "Oh, not me now, what am I going to say?" And then the minute your turn came, you definitely had a point you wanted to share. And you had 2 points, which is very good. But you had definitely a point you wanted to share. And this is how it is when you let go and let the divine in you have sway. You know, let it talk, let it share, let it go, let it be you. And it's lots of fun. But if you're going to question yourself, if you're going to doubt yourself, then of course you turn off all those vital juices that are ready to flow and let you, you know, be the genius that you are. But wasn't that fun? Wasn't that fun? You see, you now got a new glimpse. And Ingeborg, that wasn't tough, was it?
No.
No. Just like falling off a log, right?
Also with driving. No difficulty.
Well, even see, now she wants to bring another illustration here.
In America, but then I need it.
Uh-huh. Well, and you just renewed your license, didn't
yes.
you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She, and when it came time to her to do her Social Security stuff and things like that, she is a tiger going in and saying, dump da dump da dump da dump da dump, and she got everything. She got everything. And then she started to doubt herself, and things started falling away. And as soon as she gets her confidence back, it'll all be back. But when we have our confidence, we can do anything. Now, we want to realize the scientists are going to tell us many things, and they only tell us what is being revealed to them. But what is revealed to them is by the physiological functioning, right? We are dealing by the psychological functioning, the mental functioning. We're dealing with a realm that exceeds the physical, metaphysical, not that. And because we're dealing with that area, we're poo-pooed. And the reason that we're poo-pooed, you can't do that, that doesn't work, is that there's no way you can prove these things except to have them work, you know? You say, well, that's proving it. Yeah, sure. But the thing is, can you prove it before the fact? You have to say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And then what does the doctor say when you have a healing, a perfect healing? What do the doctors call that?
Wrong diagnosis,
and they can call it...
Misdiagnosis.
Misdiagnosis, and there's another term too.
Regression.
It's something of that nature, yeah. Where it you really weren't sick in the first place. But that's misdiagnosis and that sort of stuff. But they try to say that you had a healing, but there was nothing to be healed, you know. Which is a good way to do it, too. But, you see, the medical profession is a good profession. I mean, it does us a lot of good in many areas. It makes us, whenever we are so human. And if we will listen to the medical profession, but listen to it as a tool of understanding, not as the ultimate. Now, Sylvia, I want you to tell me right now, I want you to tell me, what is the most fabulous car in the universe that has not yet been presented to the public?
The one in my mind.
That's not the idea. My mind.
My mind.
My mind is the most fabulous car that has not yet been presented. Because we travel, you know. But I like to make the trip. I like to drive over the ground. I like to see. Then go slowly. Can you go slowly?
Yeah.
Can you go fast?
Yeah.
Can you be being there?
Yeah.
Sure. Now, is that a fabulous car? Now, if you feel you want to have your jacuzzi in the car, and you want to have a bar in the car, and you want to have a chauffeur in the car, and you want to have whatever, whatever, that's okay too. But I like Mark's little car that he sent us, a little cartoon of. The lady was driving this this high off-road vehicle, you know, beautiful little car, and then she came to a parking space, and she popped into the parking space, and then she started stepping out of the car, but she pressed a button, and as she stepped out of the car, her foot hit the ground, and then the car turned into a little ball and bounced into her purse, and she went off out of shopping. She didn't need a parking space or anything, you know. But of course, now, you don't need to have that kind of a car. That merely is a charming little car. But you could have a limousine, you know? Or you could have your one-wheel vehicle. I thought it'd be nice for me to buy a one-wheel vehicle around here. And, you know, it has a gyroscope in it. And you drive it up hills, down hills, anywhere. And you can have two people on it, you know? And it's perfectly balanced. And you just drive anywhere. And it didn't matter. You can hear the hill going up. Just go right up that hill, you know? And you don't have to follow a sidewalk, you don't have to follow a road, but I think it's very charming.
Uh-huh.
Of course, what Ingeborg would say, but I like a roof over it. I like the roof to keep the sun off, you know. Okay, we'll put a roof over it, you know. I mean, if we can have that, we can have, and they do exist. They do exist. They are for sale. I think they run about $20,000, $16,000 to $20,000, which is not so terribly bad, but that's one wheel. One wheel and a gyroscope and electric engine, and it goes for hours, you know, for hours.
In the circus, we see those
one
exhibited, makes exercises and driving the one wheel thing.
Yeah, but that is with their legs.
Yes.
This is with a little motor.
Yes. Well, you can substitute the legs with a motor.
Yeah, yeah, and it's quite beautiful. It's quite beautiful, but the thing is, you step on there, and then you turn on the little thing, and the gyroscope comes into play, keeping it upright. And then you just go forward or backward, you do whatever. They had it on a couple TV shows, and Oprah Winfrey had it on her show, and a number of other people. And it's quite a pleasant thing. It just, now what is being used mostly for today is on police surveillance inside of security of a department store or something like that. So here they are going through the department store, and they're right above everybody. They can see everything. You know, they're just a foot or two higher, you know, but they can see everything. And then they can, you know, they have their radios on there. They have their all their telephones and all the things that they need to do. It's a fun thing. But see, that's the dreaming. That's the dreaming. If somebody would have said, you know, even 10 years ago, they'd say, well, you'd be riding it like a bike, like Ingeborg was telling us, you know, and like in the circus, you'd be riding this as the unicycle. And, but here, it's operated by electric battery, and electric battery is small. And today, they have cars with electric batteries in them that will go 300 miles. 300 miles. And then it has a little gas engine in there, too, that will pick you up, or in case you run out of juice or something, and help you get to the nearest service station, you know. But if you don't pay attention to your battery usage, you know. But see, I want you to think creatively, imaginatively, and like I said in our seminar the other day, I said, Ellen, you want this special gadget, you know, this special camera, beautiful camera. And so I give it to you. You say, well, you got to pay for this. You know, it's coming from some stock, from some store or something. No, there's no serial number on it. It's just a blank with a serial number. It's a car or something, you know. And so we write in there, Ellen Germini, you know. Mm-hmm. And why not? Why not? People think, well, you file the number off. No one will ever question you. Has anyone ever, in your driving experience, asked to look at your serial number on your car?
No.
You know, it just isn't done, because that's not the way they find cars that are purloined from their proper owner. But now, what do you want to do? What sort of life do you want to live? What sort of experiences do you want to have? Do you want to have experiences of imagination, beyond the scope of anything you ever dreamed of, you know? Now, have you ever sat in an airplane and flown over the ocean, and as you're flying, you look at the little screens that they're using now, you know, and these little screens have different colors on them, so, and you want to see a little better. And sometimes they have them right in front of you, and they're still not that good. And so you want to have a nice, what's our high-definition screen? You know, yeah. A nice high-definition screen. You know.
Exactly.
Even little ones would be good.
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, well, you know, I always thought it would be so nice if I would just have a pair of glasses that I could wear, which would have my computer on it, which have it. Well, they have it now. They have it. And they sell it for iPods. So you can put those on and watch movies on iPods. It's like having a 15-inch screen, a 50-inch screen in front of you.
Wow.
And they're really quite something. I was thinking I should buy one just for the fun of it, because it would be just fun to use and put it in your computer, and you wouldn't have to look at your screen. It'd be right here, you know, and you just do your work on it. And it's really quite exciting. And it has earphones in it, so you can hear music and stereophonic and what have you. But I'm not sure what they cost, $190 or $200 or something like that, but it's quite a little gadget. Now, why not? Why not? This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Dream your wildest dream. Be creative in anything that you want to be creative in. Now, Ellen, I know this is going to hurt you, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Ellen, I like hurting you, in fact. Ellen, I can see you graduating into the awareness that whenever you see anybody with any illness, you either do one of three things. You walk over and lay your hand on them and say, oh, you're whole and perfect, and then they'll be whole and perfect. Yeah. Or you think about them, that they're whole and perfect, and they're whole and perfect. Or there's nobody in the universe to be whole and perfect from not being whole and perfect. Because everybody is their
perfect self.
Ideal?
Ideal perfect self.
Their ideal?
Spirit, mind, and body.
Perfect self. Their ideal?
Spirit, mind, and body.
Original?
Purity and integrity.
I gotta use these little catchwords. Because if I don't use the little catchwords, but that's what it is, see? To be their original purity and integrity, and that's wonderful, isn't it? Yes? Oops. I overflowed. I thought there was less there. Water. Now, which way do you want to have it? Yeah, what are you talking about here? What are you talking about?
No, which one? It's a challenging question, because I'm enjoying the last one.
But that's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah. But the thing is, if you are enjoying the others, then you are very human yet. And yeah. You jumped right across that, didn't you? If you're enjoying the others, you're very human. Because, oh, there, now you're whole and perfect. All is okay. Oh, it's okay. Now, no problem. No! Hey, kid, pick up your bed and walk, you know? You're fantastic. You're whole and perfect. You're beautiful. Or, she's not in bed. she's out racing around the property here with the pickup truck or with the golf carts and doing what she wants to do. Or she's got the tractor going. And she gets scoops of lumber. Yes. And all you have to do is push it in, and then it pushes out by itself by dumping it, you know. Or even go under it and pick up a load of lumber to bring up here, a load of firewood. Yeah. And then she gets so enthusiastic, she says, "That tree is almost dead. I think I'll..." "Yeah, bring it up to the house. I need more firewood." But you see that? You know how it goes? You know how it goes? Our enthusiasm sometimes runs away with us. But these are the fun things that we do. These are the fun things that we do. And this is a wonderful way of living in the now with all the magic that we're doing and all the magic that we are. And it's wonderful. But, Ellen, I want you to be in the position of never being tempted, because there's nothing to tempt you, because you always live in the perfect awareness. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, if I can ever push your buttons or ever tempt you, there's some work to be done. It's not that you're without redeeming qualities, you know, but there's some work to be done. Now, what was the redeeming quality of the film we watched last night?
Unconditional love. Yeah.
What was the film about?
About Shirley Temple. Please.
Go ahead, you're saying it.
Shirley Temple, who just spread out her wings of unconditional love.
What do you think? What was the redeeming quality of the film last night called Bright Eyes, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
In the end, she had what she wanted. She had all the people she loved. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she actually attracted, as she was love, she attracted love. Mm-hmm. And she was not anymore with
but
the family.
But as she was love, she created the love.
Yes.
She didn't attract it. Because if she attracted it, then that meant that it wasn't there. But if she creates it, and she created it in that man, didn't she?
Yes. Yeah.
Because she was love. Mm-hmm. Not because he was love, but because she was love. And of course he was love too. But he was a reflection of her love. Because that's what she was. And that, you're right. She's fantastic, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, what a metaphysical show if you really look at it right, you know. And what happened to her mother? I missed my husband. I missed my husband. He's dead, you know, over a year, you know. And she's still missing him, you know, because they had to dispose of her. And I thought to myself, well, what if she had just died of a heart attack or died of some other way? It wouldn't have done it, because she had to do what? What did the father do? How did he die?
He cracked up. With his airplane.
With his airplane.
Yeah.
And so, what did she say about her mother?
She crashed too.
Yeah. She crashed too, see. Yeah. See, those are things she could understand.
Yeah.
And she was expecting it from her mother, that she was going to want to join her husband, you know. And so it wasn't a surprise. See, the whole film just was so totally organized, so totally programmed. Quite amazing.
Yes.
What is that?
My telephone affecting the speaker system. But it says, interesting, maybe there's something coming in. Now, what about you? What did you see in that film last night that gave it a redeeming quality?
Well, impressive was that Shirley Temple, just by being who she was and being herself, had everything falling into place for her, just totally harmonious and without fighting or
even though her father died and her mother died,
her
world continued in this beautiful way.
Yeah, yeah.
And what did she do with this other little girl? Was she vituperative with the other little girl?
She didn't try to hurt
the other little girl or try to holler at her or shout at her or say, no, she
but
just
she
was
stood
herself.
Up, but she stood
oh, she stood up. The little girl wanted to operate on her doll. She said, no.
No way, she said, yeah.
Interesting.
Always living the principle, that little girl, I mean,
You like that, don't you?
Yeah.
You like that, huh?
It was a doll, no way.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
And the other little girl ripped up the doll and threw it away, and she picked it up. She says, oh, that's not for
without
me.
Without emotion.
And she says, I know how to sew. Mm-hmm. You know? So the little girl couldn't hurt her.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Now, when you saw the mother, her mother, walking around as a maid, did she walk around like a zombie? Did she walk around half dead?
In a way, yeah.
Ah, that is.
Yeah, she walked around half dead. She walked around, mm-hmm. She reminded me of Joel Black, having the death of the mask of death on her. She was not alive. She was not living. The woman spoke to her, yes, ma'am. And everybody spoke, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, you know. And even when she talked to her daughter at night saying the prayer, you know, she was a mask of death. But that was intended so that we could release her.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, it was a redeemable quality in there was that she was redeemable quality. And of course, that's what the purpose of it was. Yeah?
She was the redeemable.
The redeemable quality. The redeeming. No, Shirley Temple.
I said
Shirley Temple.
Okay.
Shirley Temple was the redeeming quality for the whole movie.
Yeah.
And as she was for every one of them.
Yeah.
Now, have you read any of her life story?
Yeah.
Well, what did you find of her life story? Was she a naughty little girl anytime?
No, she never was.
What was she? Oh, she was a girl, and she had her desires, and she fell in love, and she goofed up, you know, and the guy that she loved wanted to be famous too, but to be married to a famous actress is tough, mm-hmm. you know, unless you really are famous already.
Mm-hmm. Well, she always was herself throughout her life, because mm-hmm. she never had a life of comparison to anything outside of herself.
Now, what did you just say?
Well, I said that she never had a life of comparison.
What did you just say? What word did you use?
Comparison?
She never had any comparison, no judgment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Is that what we're teaching here?
Yeah.
No judgment?
Yeah.
Now, could you see?
But that she played that also in all her movies.
Yeah, no judgment.
Yeah.
And
she wasn't taught.
That's her
she
nature.
Wasn't taught.
That's right. She wasn't taught that.
She was kept so
sheltered.
Sheltered.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't really know that there was something else than her.
And that's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
But see, this is what it's all about. It is being ourselves and having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't it too bad that as a little girl she didn't have a chance to go and play with all the neighbor kids? She couldn't do this and that. Wasn't that too bad? Isn't it too bad that Mozart couldn't go and play with the kids and he had to just play his violin all the time, piano? Mm-hmm. And other great people, they are bound up in their genius. They're living their genius. And they didn't need to be involved in the human world. They didn't need to have friends or have this or have that. Now, you see, Anita here, she's a good example. Wherever Anita goes, there's nobody else there. There are no people in Anita's world except Anita. Wherever she is, she sees it through her eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? She sees everybody through her eyes, and everybody is a reflection of her. And so everything she sees is exactly how wonderful she feels or how sad she feels. And if she goes after something and she knows she shouldn't, she feels sad because she didn't get it. But what she should say to herself is, hey, I am designing my life, and my life includes this and this and this, and then it'll be done. But the minute you go after it and say, oh, you know, you're just running and jumping and trying to accomplish your goals, by physical effort, it doesn't work. But if you just let go and be yourself, did Shirley Temple win everybody's heart?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Even the little Indian boy, remember?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And he's not an easy heart to win. But how did she win it?
By being herself
and having fun. All right, let's prepare ourselves now for our first lecture today, which will be lecture number 8, I believe. I see 7. Lecture 7. Mm-hmm. And so we meet at 10:30, right?
Yes.
Okay. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.